Okay, Gertie, would you please give me your full name, the date you were born, and your age now?
My full name is Gertie N. Hibbert, and I was born on the 8th of February, 1913, and I'm 89 years old today.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
And, well, my mother's name was Annie Helen Lindsay.
Lindsay. Were you born here?
I was born 8 miles up Indian Creek.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've been a Union County resident all your life,
mm-hmm.
which is marvelous, I think. So your family remained pretty much in the same location.
My husband came from Arizona when he was 10 years old, and he lived in this place here until he passed away. And then, well, he passed away. We built the place here after his folks lived. His grandparents lived here when they came from Arizona, and then after they died, his dad took over this place and run it till he couldn't do it anymore. Then Eugene and I took it over.
So this place became a Hibbert place originally in about what year?
Well, I don't know just when David T. them came, but Leo and them came in 1923.
Uh-huh.
And they were, his parents was here before that. And, let's see.
So how many years do you think this has been a Hibbert ranch?
Well, there's been 5 generations on it.
Isn't that marvelous?
And I was an Evoker, and I lived up here with my mother, and Lottie has the place now.
Uh-huh.
So we just been here, and mother and them moved out into Mount Glen when Vern was a baby, and I was just about 2 years old when they moved out on that farm. So I'm up here with my mother. My dad died when I was just 7.
So what is that, about a half a mile away?
Yeah, just around the corner. Well, it's about a mile. About from here up and around to there, it'd be about a mile, mile and a half.
So you haven't moved very far in your life, have you?
No.
No, I think that's absolutely marvelous. Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had 4 sisters and 3 brothers.
Uh-huh.
And I was we made 5 girls. We had 8 children in the family. My dad died just a few months before Waddy was born. So mother had 7 children and expecting another when Waddy was born.
Isn't Ida your sister?
Yes.
Yes. She and I used to go visiting, teaching together.
Yes. I have one older than Ida. She's passed away now. And then there's Ida, and then there was me, and then Vern. And then Verda, Lyle, and Waddy.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
Alec was the oldest one. Alec was before Helen. But he's gone now, and Vern's gone. And there's 3 gone, but the rest of us are all still here.
I think it's marvelous. Well, you know, my husband as Bob Clemens, was Bob Clemens' brother.
Yeah.
Married to Ann, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Who he is, I know who you are. You was the Relief Society president.
Yes.
At our world one time.
Yes, I was. I've done a lot of things, and it's one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I think it's immensely important for Union County. So, what are some of your earliest recollections as a child?
Well, I was a real outgoing girl. I was healthy and strong. And my dad liked horses, and I liked horses. And I used to follow him around as long as I could get around and walk. And I've come to the conclusion that my dad must have been a patient, kind man. Because you can tell when little children start to follow you around and the questions they can ask, and he always answers them. Because I like that when he'd go to harness the horse, I would always say, well, what's that strap for? And he would tell me, and then when he hooked him up on the I'd always try to help. And I would go out in the field and follow him around all morning so I could drive the horses to the barn when he come in for dinner.
Oh.
And so I really knew my dad maybe more than some of the ones that was older, because I asked him questions, and when he passed away, I knew how to harness the horse, although I couldn't, but I knew how, and I knew how to hitch him up. And I know for there, because mother had the baby, and I remember putting the harness on my arm, and the two hames like this, and Vern would get on the other side of the horse, and I'd come up and I'd throw it like that, and he'd grab that strap, and then he'd pull him up, and then he'd catch one hame, and I'd get the other, and then we'd put him up in the collar.
How old were you then, honey, about?
Well, I was 7 when he died, and this was the spring, so I was only 8.
Oh.
But I knew how to do it, and that year, my oldest brother was 12, and he was doing the farm work, but he had a job to work with George Chadwick down to his dairy, just down in the glen. And Mama said, well, if you do that, who's going to do the plowing? And he said, well, if I open up on the piece, I know Gertie can do it. And so I plowed the ground when I was, I could sit on the seat, and I had to put my foot out here to hold it on. And now I knew how to do that, and I know it was done because my dad had told me, and I've often wondered if he had any inkling or premonition of what he was teaching, and if he was teaching him what he knew might happen in the future.
I don't know, but you stop and think about you out there. What were you, 8, 9 years old, plowing the field?
Yes, I used to drive them all the time. And I tried to beg my mother to not let me go to school to stay home and do that. She wouldn't do it, but I've seen her out on the plow. She had Riley on her lap, and she had a quilt. She'd sit on there and then around like this to hold him on, and she'd plow. And I would hurry home from school so I could take the horses. Oh. I would plow, and I enjoyed that.
What kind of horses were they? They were probably big old workhorses.
Well, they were workhorses. They were Perchins.
Perchins,
most
yes.
of them.
Uh-huh.
And
you weren't afraid of them?
Oh, heck no.
Oh, no.
No, I wasn't afraid of anything at that time. But I knew how to hitch them up, and I could do it.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
And
what a help you were to your mother.
Well, yes, gradually. Then it went for years. And even after I graduated from high school, I stayed home until I graduated in 1931. And I got married in 1936.
That's when I was born.
And I helped Mother all that time. And it come down that Mother and I finally ended up, we were the only two there. And Wiley was there for a long time, but then he'd work at the mill. And we'd go out and work, and then we'd come in, and that's when I learned it. I liked squash. I didn't like it, but we'd come in, and we'd fix a few potatoes, and Mother'd cook some squash, and we'd fry them. And that would be our dinner. And I learned to like squash, and I still do. You can fry squash, and it cooks in a hurry.
And you know, that is so odd, because my mother came from Czechoslovakia to Canada, and the same situation, only I think it was pumpkins, I don't think it was squash. And when she'd get home from school, her mother would have pumpkin baked,
uh-huh.
and they would sit and talk and eat squash and butter.
Well, mother liked horses too, because she came from New Zealand, and she had a little pony over in New Zealand, and she called Pet. And she rode that, and she said, oh, that was the best horse she ever rode. And we would get through with the hay and whatever we had, and then we'd take the couple horses, and we'd ride up on the hill, and we'd go huckleberrying.
Oh.
And, Josh, we picked huckleberries and huckleberries.
And were they any more plentiful then than they are now?
Well, there were in places up on this side hill, they've not been much up there. I think they've ruined a lot of the patches and that, but And a lot of times I would be working and Mother would get on a horse and she'd ride up over the ridges there, and one day she rode up there and she went over the mountain, just over the mountain, and she found it, oh, a lovely pack. And Mother, whenever she went, she'd take 2 or 3 gallons and some dish towels. And she'd always come home, if she found berries with them all full. And this time she'd come home, she had them, but she'd take these dish towels, tie around the bucket so that the lids wouldn't come off. And she called me and told me she needed some help to get off the horse. And so I went out there and she had her buckets all full and she had a gallon in, tied in a towel. And it was sitting on her lap.
Oh.
And so I took them, and I've often wondered how she got on with them on the horse with that in, those tied in the just as flower.
She must have been a pretty fast picker.
Oh, she was.
Oh.
I finally got the, I could pick a half a gallon by the time she picked the gallon.
Oh, my gosh.
But she did. We had, and we, then she hadn't picked that one out. She says, Gertie, I want you to go up with me tomorrow. So we went up and we filled ours and come back. So the next day we called Aunt Mildred from Union and asked her if she'd like to go. And we called Gene here and asked him if he'd like to go. And we went up there and we picked the patch finally out.
Uh-huh.
And we come to find out that we had picked 27 gallons of huckleberries out of that one patch.
My gosh, I bet you made jam. Of course you didn't have freezers in those days,
no.
Did you?
Mother canned a lot, but she canned a lot, and she made a lot of jam. And she, I still see those pies. She'd make huckleberry pies with whipped cream on top of them.
Ooh. And real whipped cream, of course.
Yes, real whipped cream.
Yes. Oh, that's absolutely wonderful.
So I have, in a way, been farming ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah. Oh.
And then when, so I figured that that is probably one of my missions, was to help Mother. And then when we come down here, Gina still had a job, so I practically run the farm here. And so I figured, well, I had that mission too, to help him. And while we, but before this, before we took over, while Leo was still here, Grandpa Hibbert, he, well, of course, I was raised up in those terrible 30s.
Yeah.
When we went to work, any job, and he was just, they had, couldn't even pay the, all they could pay to keep this was pay the rent.
Taxes.
Interest on, on it. And so when it started to open up a little bit, he had a chance to work for the railroad, a job on the railroad. And so he'd come in, and Karen was a baby then. And he asked me if I would come out and help him run the farm while so he could go to work. And I said, yes, I'll do that if Grandma will tend the baby.
Uh-huh.
The others was putting him in school. And so when I got them off to school, I'd come out and leave the baby here at the house. That's the house, only it was over here.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd go catch the horses and work the summer follow and whatever.
What did you, now did you have wood heat?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I never had electricity until we moved out here.
Uh-huh.
I never had a washer, only like we have now. We finally bought a washer. Well, Gene and them, when they left, the reason they left Arizona, they lost everything they had down there. And they come up here, and so Gene would not take anything. If he couldn't pay for it, he wouldn't get it. But he was working at the light company at that time, and was selling washers.
Oh.
So he got one and had him take it out. He paid it by, that's about the only thing we paid on time.
Now, was that electrical, or was that an injector?
But it had the rollers, you know,
uh-huh.
That. So we used that.
And did you have a refrigerator?
Yes, we finally got a refrigerator while we was in it. We lived down there on Cove Avenue for 20 years. And then we've been out here since 1964.
Uh-huh. I tell you, you've been a worker. Okay, what do you remember about health care in your family when you were a child?
Well, around this Mount Glen, Mother was she was, anybody got sick, they called Mom. And we us kids, and at that time, when they had a baby, they stayed in bed for 10 days. And Mother would go out there and stay and help them, and she'd call home and tell us what to do, and we done it. So I thought we was pretty good to stay along for 10 days. And then, and a lot of times some of them would come to her place and stay, and she did her help for the baby. Mm-hmm. They got, anybody got sick, they always called for Mom.
Oh.
And she was just regular. And then when the flu was on so bad, everybody in the whole, there were about 15 families around here. It isn't like it is now.
Yeah.
And none of them had, like, electricity wasn't out here. They did have a phone, one on hanging on the wall, you know.
Yeah.
And they all got sick but my dad. That was the year 1919, about, I guess, because it was the year before he passed away, and he passed away in 1920.
Uh-huh.
And he went around doing our chores, and he went around to all the ones in the valley and done their chores.
Oh.
And then the next year there was a girl. Well, there was twice they were out. Party Feek, and the Feeks had been over the mountain, down to Rhodes Fiddler's Hill, Huckleberry or something, and Party had his little horse, but he must have wandered off and he got lost, and he was over and didn't come back, and so everybody went out to hunt him.
Oh.
And of course Dad was one of those that went out, and then it was kind of a stormy, and that wasn't really what got him, I guess, but right shortly after that, there was, my uncle lived way back up the Grand on the mountains, and they didn't have any children, but they had girls or boys work for them and take care of them. Well, they had a young girl that was working for them, and she was tending the cows. They had, evidently, I don't understand, they must have had for the place they could run them, but they had to have be kind of watched, and she was supposed to be doing that. Well, when the time to come bring the cows in, she was gone.
Oh.
They didn't know it. It was a stormy night, and everybody went back up there. My dad was
looking for her.
Looking for her. Later on, could find out her and the other girl run off, and they found her down in Washington.
Oh, everybody looking for her, and she wasn't even here.
And, of course, Dad got pneumonia. Then he got sick and had pneumonia. And, of course, he never did get out of bed after that, so he died.
Well, I noticed at the Somerville Cemetery, that's where Elton is, you know, and my mother and my dad, that so many died from that flu, whole family.
Oh, I had an aunt that year died, but he missed the flu the year before, but he got this pneumonia. And then,
well, now, did you have the flu?
Oh, I don't know, remember, but we had three cases of scarlet fever. I know we were quarantined two or three different times from school. We couldn't go to school because we had scarlet fever.
I did too when I was a youngster. Yeah. I can remember being delirious.
Well, some of us, I had it harder than others.
I was just wondering if you did something different in taking care of yourselves is why you got over it.
Well, I tell you, I don't know that we never had any fancy food. We never went hungry, but we didn't have luxuries, that was for sure. But Mother always had a lot of canning, and we had fruits and vegetables like that, and she would always go and buy a barrel of flour, maybe two barrels of flour. And I don't suppose anybody now would know what a barrel of flour is.
No.
And she put that with our, to make our bread, and that she always made the bread. But she would, we generally had pigs, and she generally butchered one pig, and we had killed one skim milk calf or something, and that was all the meat that we had. We had some chickens, and we'd kill them once in a while. If we ever got sick, well, my mother would kill a chicken and make us chicken soup.
She's smart.
And noodles, our noodles in them and something anyway. We had chicken soup.
Because they've proved now, today, that chicken soup helps colds.
Well, I tell you, her patriarchal best said that she would have the power over sickness and disease. And wherever she went in that room, they got better. She just seemed like she knew what to do when she went in or something, but that was
wonderful. A wonderful gift.
Yeah.
Yes, really. Was there any experiences in school that you wish to recall?
Well, we went to the Mount Glen School. We had 8 grades down there in that little house now across from where Ivan and Lee Flowers live.
Yeah.
And we walked from down, which is a mile. When the snow was deep, we would all climb on a little horse we had. We called her Topsy. And there was 5 of us, and we'd all get on the horse, and we'd ride down to the school. Then we'd get off, and then we'd turn her loose, and she'd go back home.
Oh, is that right?
And then we'd get to school.
How'd you get home?
Well, we'd walk home.
Yeah.
Then we'd walk home. I know when Alec was there, that if the snow was quite deep, he'd walk first and then kind of make the trail, because the snow got pretty deep up there.
Oh, I know. Especially these crossroads.
Yeah.
The wind comes from the north and south, and it makes it pretty deep.
Well, we used to have a lot of fun in school there. They'd have a Halloween party a lot of times, and some of the men would always come kind of with the sheets over them and through the windows and scare us. But there's one thing, our school always had a good Christmas program.
Oh, yes.
We had a good Christmas program, but we'd always go down to the church and had it down there. And we had people from the valley come over to see our Christmas program. And I don't know why we'd always have the sack of candies, pretty good sack of candies, and more like they are now. But
now, where is the church, hon?
Well, it was located right where Dave Waite, where Bishop Bedard now lives.
Oh.
Where Dave Waite lived, right next to where Ivan is.
Oh.
The church is there, and we had the church there, Mount Glen Ward, and Bishop Whiting was the bishop, and he was the bishop for, I think it was 36 years. But we built a recreation hall there, and used to have real good dances. And we had a lot of valley people and that come to our rec. But nothing outstanding happened in school other than
You had 8 grades, didn't you?
8 grades.
Mm-hmm.
1 year we had 30 people in that 8 grades, and we were allowed 10 minutes to go up and talk with the teacher. One teacher.
So what would you say was the difference of when you went to school and how they think about it today, how the schools today?
Gosh, the people wouldn't even think about walking that far. They won't even go on the bus. Some of them's got to have a car there.
And there's such a lack of respect today, isn't there?
They don't respect the older people.
No.
I don't think.
Well, they don't appreciate learning. They think they're doing the parents a favor, everybody a favor, but they don't realize how important school is to them, do they, nowadays?
No,
they
really don't. I don't think they appreciate what they have now compared to what we had.
And sometimes you wonder if that's the best thing or not.
Well, I've often thought, I feel kind of sorry for these kids that are getting married now, and they expect to have what their parents have now.
Yeah.
And if they have it, well, they're very fortunate. But
well, usually they get so far in debt and they can't take care of it.
Well,
so they got to learn that it comes slowly.
But I had to work to go to high school. I stayed in with Dr. Ralston and tended their kids nights and got up early in the morning and got breakfast started and tended them at night because they were kind of silent people and they were gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Every other week she would give me 50 cents if I stayed in on Saturday and cleaned house. And heaven, 50 cents was like
gold in those days. but it sounds awful.
So one day the doctor, Walton, came in, and I was working at work. Yes. And he was sitting there drinking his money around in his pocket. And his wife said, though, if you got so much money, why don't you give Gertie a dollar? And he put out a silver dollar, and I've never seen
it.
Big. And my wife, that was really
a thrill.
A treat, too.
Yes, I'll bet. How much was a loaf of bread in those days? Could you buy it?
Well, you could buy a loaf of bread for 10 cents, and you could get a quarter milk for 10 cents. And I could get, when I got to, Alec had a car, and he would let me drive it, but he wouldn't, some of the others he wouldn't let. But I could go in there, he had a little filling station where he got his gas, and you could get 4 gallons of gas for a dollar.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and you know, even then, that was hard to get that dollar.
Well, yes, because you didn't make much money either,
That's true.
So, it balances out. Okay, what part did religion play in your life?
Well,
especially in the early years.
Well, that was our life. His mother was a convert in New Zealand. And she knew it was true as soon as she heard it. When the elders came over there, just her and the kids was there. But she knew that Mother, the Lindsay's always invited her in, was very hospitable. And so she invited them in to eat. And when she asked them what they wanted to drink, tea or coffee, they said, well, just some water. They didn't. But before Grandma and them come home, they finished supper and they were in by the fireplace talking, explaining the word of wisdom to them. And Mother said to Lee, our Walter, one of their brothers, she says, let's make promise right now that we'll never touch that again. And on her dying bed, she says, I don't know about Walter. I thought it was Will, but Walter. And she says, I don't know about Walter, but I want you to tell you that I've never touched it since then.
My goodness.
And she was both, I think she was around 19 when they came to Oregon, so it was before that.
And your father, where was he from?
He was born in Salem, Utah, and he came to Le Grand. Well, they were poor church mice, and they kind of farmed their kids out. And my dad went to live with a man by the name of Will Manuel, and he worked with him. And then when the beets kind of, they decided they wanted to try some beets up here, I think it was, he came up and he brought my dad with him.
Oh.
And so my dad was here when Mother and them came from New Zealand.
Oh, I see.
And that's how...
How did the sugar beets go in this valley?
Didn't go.
Didn't go. It's too cold?
I don't know.
I know. I've heard...
I don't want to kill it.
So getting back to religion, which church do you belong to?
The LDS Church.
Uh-huh.
They had this, was the first word... It was one of their earliest wards. They had a little ward down here. And, of course, Mother, that's what she came there. And she really believed it because she didn't wave her one way or another.
Well, did she convert your dad?
No, he was a member.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were all members down there in Payson and Salem, Utah. And then his dad finally moved up into Rigby. That's where they died, by grandparents. But Dad was here.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see. What are some of the basic philosophies that were part of your mother's life and teachings that you learned?
No, she'd read stories, Bible stories to us, and tell us. We had kind of a home evening. We didn't call it home evening, but we'd all sitting around the old pot-bellied stove, and she'd read out of the Book of Mormon or the Bible, or tell us. And then she'd tell us stories of what she had over in there in New Zealand. There the kids go swimming in the ocean any time of the year, because it says where they lived. They lived in the very north part of the North Island, and it was warm up there.
The year round, huh?
Yeah, I said you could go swimming. And she was swimming. She was a real good swimmer. But when she come to America, she hardly ever swim. She said it's too cold for them. And so she never went swimming very often.
Did she miss New Zealand?
No, she said she never would. She never would ever wanted to go back.
Uh-huh.
She said that it was nice, and they had a good tall gum. It was kind of a old stone or something, kind of goldish like, and they made. Well, it was quite expensive. They made polishes or something out of it. I don't know.
Uh huh.
But she said there was a lot of wild pigs out there. She said she remembers her and one of her brothers that they found a wild pig that had a bunch of little ones, and they followed that around trying to catch one of those little ones. And said when they got home, their dad and that really scolded them and said, "Well, if you got a hold of one of them, you'd have been up it, because they were mean."
Oh yeah, they were quite dangerous, weren't they?
Yeah. He said, especially the boars, they'd take after you or anything. But I guess she's very fortunate that this wasn't supposed to get.
No.
But she only went to the third grade. She worked anytime anybody needed something, mother always, until she finally never did. But I thought she'd done pretty good after she come here.
Well, good grief, she could read the Bible.
Yes, and she converted herself and taught herself to read and that.
You know, they say that if you only had one book to learn to read from, that the Bible has every word in it, that you would learn everything just from the Bible.
Yeah, all the others went to school, but she was home working, or somebody else needed it. She finally got discouraged, and she didn't. That's they said she graduated into the third grade. But she was a person that wanted to learn, and she was smart enough to learn it.
How old were you when you got married, Gertie?
I was about 24.
Uh-huh. And married to the same man?
Yeah, we went together almost 7 years before we got married. Because the first date was to his senior play. He invited me to go to the senior play with him. And that he graduated in 1930. He graduated the year before I did.
And so, what year did you get married?
36.
36? And is he still with you?
No, he passed away in 1977. He's been gone soon 25 years.
My word. It's not fun being alone sometimes, is it?
No.
Do you have a hard time preparing yourself meals?
Well, I never did like to cook, so it's a hit and on the low. I eat what there is, or it's easy to fix. But after he retired, we'd be out there. I was always with him out wherever we went. He went. If he went for a load of wood, I went with him, and because I like to
be with him.
Yeah,
yes.
And,
do you drive?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I drive and...
thank goodness.
Yeah, and my tractor. See, when he got tractors, then I could live on that tractor. I'm not a fancy cooker, but we always... Hey, a lot of times when we'd be out there working together, he'd say, "Well, don't you think it's about time to go in and fix something to eat?" And I said, "Well, why don't you go in and fix it, and I'll finish up out here." So he was good at that.
Oh, that's great. You balanced out very well.
Well, when we'd go hunting or camping, I didn't have to worry about anything to eat, to take. He always fixed that, and he cooked it. I would take care of the horses.
Uh-huh.
I'd take them out or saddle them up. So we just
did. You hunt?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I learned to hunt when they came up here. Gene's dad liked to hunt. And he would take his boys, and then he'd take us orphan kids, you might say. Because I didn't have a dad, and there's Whitey and I, and the Wake boys didn't have a dad. So he'd have the Wake boys, and he'd try and scrounge around and give us all a gun.
Oh.
And then he'd tell us how to hunt, and then we'd go hunting.
Now, so have you killed deer?
I've killed a lot of them.
Have you killed elk?
Yes. but I was not out there. But
well, same here. I didn't get to shoot, kill an elk. But anyway, getting back to you, how many children have you had?
Eight.
Mm-hmm. And
I had just the opposite from mother.
Yeah.
I had five boys and three girls.
Ah. And do any of them live around here?
Yes. Dallas lives just through the field here, and Ivan lives over in the glen.
Uh-huh.
And Dixie's here with me now.
She living with you?
Oh, they've got her fixed up the basement for kind of separate for her.
That's nice.
And then I've got one lives over in Pendleton, and we were all that was around here, and the one in Pendleton, we went for yesterday. We went up on the mountain, and they cut burnt brush and big piles after logging.
Uh-huh.
They had fires going, and then we had weenie roast and solids and had a good dinner.
Oh,
had a lot of fun. And then we're just getting ready to come home. Richie was in Burning different place than we were, so we would go and oversee what he was doing. And he had these fires going, and pretty soon there was a big cow, a black cow coming over, and it thundered, oh, it thundered hard. And I said, boy, we're going to get a shower. And boy, just like that, it just poured down.
Oh.
And they were all in the field kind of gathering up, rounding up the fire. Dixie would get to the car, and Richie, they were soaking wet. The other ones down there, they said it lightning down there where they were, and they were just getting ready. And boy,
good thing it rained good in case the lightning hit, huh?
Boy, Ivan had to bring the tractor home. I was hoping when after rain that he'd leave the tractor up there, and we'd go up tonight and get it, but he had his gun, and he said every time we went around the corner, the back of the whole wheel was down his arms.
Had to come home and get clean. You know, I didn't talk about what were you raising here on the ranch when you were plowing and stuff?
Right here?
Uh-huh.
Well, when we moved out here, we didn't have, we had some chickens before we really took it over. Yep, his dad and that was in town. We'd kind of go back and forth. We got a bunch of these leghorn roosters, and mm-hmm. we put them in there, had a chicken house out here. And we put them out there, and then we come out every once in a while. And he was on the troubleshooter on the telephone. He was going all around. He'd always kind of come by every once in a while to see if everything is all right. And it seemed to be. But one day he come out this way, and he seen his dad's car sitting there and the dog underneath it. So he got kind of wondering about it. And so he got out and looked around and found him out just south of the chicken house there. And he had been targeting his gun to go hunting. It was in September. And it had been raining. And before that, we had gone up grouse hunting or something on Mount Emily, and it poured up there while we was up there. But his clothes were not wet. But he had some overshoes over his shoes, and you could see where he walked.
Well, and did he shoot himself, or did
no,
he
just
had a heart attack?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And he was, you can see how his tracks was faltering. And while he was sitting up on his porch, and he'd been shooting his gun, but he had seen the elk, and said, but he said something about his gun, he took it out back, and when he looked up, he said he couldn't see the elk, and he said, well, I wonder where he went to. Now, if he hadn't drawn off, he'd have seen him draw.
Uh-huh.
But he was, they said he had one arm thrown out like that, like he was trying to get air. They said he had a shell in it, like he was coming back and going to try it once more.
Oh. Well, honey, when you were plowing the fields, what were you planting?
Well, we planted wheat.
Wheat. Uh-huh.
Generally wheat.
We
had
wheat,
and then we had alfalfa here that was already on here.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have a baler then either. We finally we got a baler to bale, but Gus, when I was growing up there at the farm, my mother and I, we rake that, and then we have to shock it, and then we'd have to pitch it on loose.
Oh my, no combines or nothing, huh?
No, and we haul that hay, and then we took and drove in kind of a lean-to, and then I generally got the job of forking it from a Reagan off up into the barn. But after we were here, we finally got a baler that we could bail. And after Gene died, I got a swather. I tried talking him into getting a swather. He said, "Oh, we don't need it." But
that, you needed it.
That was a blessing to get that, because it saved time. It was rolled. You didn't have to rake it after that.
Well, not only that, if it was going to rain or something, you go out there and swap it a whole lot faster.
Oh, and so we appreciated that.
Yes, I'll bet. Well, honey, how was the cemetery that you're most familiar with organized and financed and maintained over many years?
Well, when my dad died, where he is buried now, was not in, it was just grown up in weeds and that. And the city didn't have to take it over. And Mother bought a plot, which you take and bury four or five people in that one plot.
Where?
Right on the corner here up in the cemetery.
The one that here on that land?
No, not Hillcrest.
Oh, okay.
It's right up in there.
Okay.
And so my dad was buried there. And then that's the way I remembered it. And then finally the city took it over. And they fixed it so it is like it is now. But when Dad was buried there, you have to go up there and kind of clean the weeds and stuff.
Kind of maintain it yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know Elmer said out there at Somerville, they would have a great big potluck and everybody would bring food and then they'd sell it. And then they raised money for the cemetery that way until it was taken over by taxes.
No, we had nothing like that. All I know is that Mother bought that plot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they buried somebody on one corner of it. And they would have dug it up, and Mother said, "No, it'd be sold in that corner there." But
they didn't realize that she owned it, in other words.
There's something, anyway, something got mixed up.
Uh-huh.
But Ida now, her husband is buried on that plot by Mother, and Wiley's got, he had lost a little girl. So she's buried there, and then they've got a plot there.
Uh-huh.
So there'll be Ida and Mark and Mother and Dad and Wally and Jeannie and then Elaine.
And where will you go?
Well, we bought, when we knew that Jean's mother was bad, but she wasn't going to live very much longer. Between Eugene's dad, he bought two lots, and this, there was a lot running this way, and he bought two here, so Jean bought, took five places. So Jean bought, no, it took six, I guess, because Jean bought four.
Uh-huh.
Bought the rest of them that. And we buried his mother, and then when he passed away, buried him there. And then when my daughter, after she's married, she had one child, and the next one she lost early. And they sent it up here. We had him bring it up here, and we asked him what they bought, burying it there, and they said yes, but they said they generally take a little pre-manure like that and bury it right on top of someone.
Yes.
So that's what we done. We put them right on top of Jean's mother.
Oh.
And then they got back to Iowa. She had another one she lost.
Oh, how sad.
And so they sent him out, and so Dallas and I went up, and we took right the next one next to Grandma, and we dug a little grave there, and we buried it there.
Uh-huh.
There's a half a lot back there, but there's three others over here. Then when Jean died, we put Jean, and then there's one for me, and there's one extra, and Dixie says, "And that's mine, babe."
I want to be there too.
She says, "You remember that one I'm going to have."
Yeah,
so,
I know. Well,
I do a lot of quilting. Mother always done quite a bit of quilting. I started quilting before I was married, as a teenager. But I've done a lot here lately. In fact, since the middle of February, I have pieced and quilted about 8 or 10 quilts.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of quilts.
Yes, it is. I enjoy it, and now Dixie's, she kept making them fancy ones. I was trying to get rid of some of my scraps, so I was doing pretty good getting that. Then Viola, one day she said the next door neighbor here has to go to the rest home, and she has a lot of material she don't know what to do with. She says, I told her I'd buy it, and she says, no, I'll just give it to you. But she says, I know I've got a sister that would use it. So she bought me all that, so I worked that up. And then I had...
Is that your sister?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't stop to think about that. She was just over at Helen Butler's visiting her.
Yeah.
Visiting teaching.
And the, so then I was in the Salvation Army one day, and they had a big grocery bag, basket, one of those carts, full of quilting material.
Oh.
Quilt stuff. And I got to looking through that, and they said, well, we got it that if you fill this big, she bought a big grocery bag over there, and she says, all you can cram in there, you can have it $5. And I filled that clear full, but the funny thing was somebody, I don't know what they were planning on doing, there was enough material there in sheeting that they had cut in two or different sizes. And I took that, I took it all, and I got the lining for 3 quilts out of that.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
And so when I got it all in there, I just went, she says, you go there and pick out whatever you want and what you don't want to put in this other place. So I had that full. When I took it up there, she charged me $1.
Oh, how wonderful. See, you're supposed to quilt.
And so I have made quilts. In fact, I just took one off last night.
Oh, and I saw that laying there.
And so I was putting them up down there in the basement, but... because I've got them done. I've got some nice quilting frames that I, or stands that I made down there, but I didn't want to bring them up here, and I didn't want to bother her all the time. So I've fixed me up some here lifetime on these quilts. These hairs just swine to hang them up on that, so I just put them there, and then I can quilt when I want to, and it just stays first, so I don't have to bother her.
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
I don't have to run up and down the stairs, because it's getting harder to do that.
True. Very
and
true.
So I've just, I've got 4 other tops that I'd like to get finished before I can't. But I don't know whether I'll get around to it or not, because it was pretty hard on this one. Because I can't sit too long, and I can't stand too long. And
just a little slower than you used to be.
But I can quilt. It's good about, in fact, I can quilt a pretty good size quilt there in a couple of days.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, it don't take me long.
Well, that's great.
But I don't go around the block like I used to.
Yeah.
I can go through and do zigzags through there. And I've come to the conclusion, and they look just as nice that way, and maybe better than if you took and go around each block.
I know. Well, that's so
and you can
work.
Do it half the time.
Definitely.
You went to Mount Glen School when you were in the first grade. How much of that can you remember, the first days you were there?
Well, the first day kind of was frightening, but I can sure remember the second year as I started the second year, because we just started, and the Whitings that lived right across from that big red barn, they came over and said, send all the Nebraker kids home because their dad's not expected to live. And so there was Alec and Helen and Ida and me and Vern, that there's five of us there. Of course, the older ones, they let out and run, and I couldn't keep up. I was running and crying and telling them to wait, and I didn't do any better than that because I wouldn't wait for Vern, and I ran off and left him. And that was really frightening because when we got there, there was a lot of the family that had come, and we just had lived in that little old log cabin, and Dad's and Mother's bed was in the front room, and then we had two little rooms upstairs, and of course there wasn't room for us, and I even remember going out where there was a lot of the men standing talking, and they were saying how they felt about wondering what Nellie was going to do, because she had seven children and expecting the eight. And my uncle Vern being, being married to my mother's sister, he says, "Well, I feel sorry, $50. What about the rest of you?" And so I guess the others donated something if they're trying to help her. But that was kind of, we were sent down to Whiting's and different places to stay because until after the funeral.
Were you about 6 years old then?
Yeah, I was just turned seven. Okay. A little bit.
So it was about 1918?
He died in 1920.
I see.
September.
At that time, was it still a Mormon school or was it part of the public school
system?
Well,
it was just a public school. But we had to take exams in every one of our classes that came from Salem or was down there. And they wrote out the questions and we had to answer them.
That was in the eighth grade, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in the eighth grade.
Okay, but you entered into the first grade, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, what I'd like to get, if you can remember, is how the teacher looked when you came into the room, what you did, and what the activities were during the day.
Well, I think I was scared, and I think Mother must have went with me the first grade.
Why were you scared?
Well, I'd never been to school before.
Yeah.
But if you want to turn that off, then I can show you what...
The first teacher that you had was Imogene. Well, she was the teacher for all the kids, of course.
Yeah, she did.
Imogene Orton.
Yeah, and...
Was she young?
And, well, I don't think she's married. But this, I think, was... There's a picture of the schoolhouse.
Oh, yes. Do you know when this was taken?
Well, it says, this teacher here is Miss Betts, and that's the school group.
And oh, yes. Miss Betts looks as though she's about 18 years old. Mrs. Betts, it says.
I think this is real nice. She made it out when the school got out.
Here's Gertie Nebaker in the fourth grade, Vern Nebaker and Luther Fike.
Fike. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you think these pictures were taken by this teacher?
I think so. Okay. I think she had them because she went to all this trouble of fixing them. Yeah. I thought she got a real good picture of the schoolhouse.
Yes, it is. So this was in the years 1923 and 1924.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you went in, after you got over being afraid of going into school, what were the first things you did in the morning?
Well, they generally, before we come in, they saluted the flag. They had a flag pole. And
outside?
Uh-huh.
Even in the cold weather?
Oh, it took down. If it started raining, the flag went down, and it went up early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood on the walk and saluted the flag. And then when we got in there, quite often, before we really sat down, or we got up and sat in stood in the aisleways, and we exercised up and down. And
calisthenics?
I guess. Uh-huh. We just... up on our toes and reaching up and down and whatever. But there were so many grades there that some of the older children helped the younger ones with their spelling or their arithmetic and so on and so forth. I remember the one year
Of course, I was probably along in this age group, fourth or fifth grade, and some of the older ones come and help us with our arithmetic and our spelling. But there were 30 children in the school that year, and there was all 8 grades. And the teacher would give us 10 minutes. We'd go up from our class up and sit on a bench up in the front by her, and then she'd ask us questions or talk to us.
About arithmetic?
Or whatever was that. And
Was she kind of giving you a test?
I think so, see if we'd, mm-hmm. we'd studied or
yes.
whatever.
Yes. Were you nervous when you do that?
Oh, I was, especially because I didn't like reading, and it was hard for me to read.
I see.
And there was just two of us in there. I think it was in the third grade. And she would hold me on her lap, and she'd have Morris read the stories to me. So that didn't help me even reading very much. And that year she passed me into the fourth if I would learn to read during the summer. But from the time school was out until then, I never looked in a book. So she put me back in the third grade with my brother. And that bothered me, but I think it kind of woke me up, because I worked real hard, because I swore I was going to get better grades and I did. But it's been hard. I've had to make myself read, but I think I'm getting so I can do pretty good at it.
Now, you had some books in the school, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Did you have to buy your own books?
Well, maybe and maybe not. I know when Mother would sell her wheat, I'd go out with her, and she would go on a horse and buggy, and she would get the check, and she'd make out her tithing, and then she'd make out what she had to pay on the farm, and then what was left over would get us kids in school. But we had paper and pencils, and then I don't remember whether we had to buy books or not. I kind of think the books was furnished, but I don't remember that much.
The furniture in the classroom, did you have the kind of desks that are all mounted together on mm-hmm. a row?
Yeah, and one behind each other.
Yes.
And some of the big boys that sat behind me, they were either pulling your hair or doing something. And I remember once that one of the girls got mad at them, and she got mad at the teacher. And she up and took her ink bottle and threw it at her. But we had a lot of fun, a lot of programs.
What did you do about lunch?
Oh, we all took a sandwich or something from home.
Did you eat it outside usually?
Oh, if it was nice, and if it wasn't, we'd be in the school.
Right at your desk?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me that the only source of water was in a trough over next to the barn, where Lee Flowers' barn is now.
No.
Do you remember that?
No, there wasn't. There was a house right over across the street where Ivan's barn is. There was a house there, and Fred Leek lived there. And on his back porch, he had a pump. And the boys, the bigger ones, would go over there and get the water and bring it over, and they had a big crop up there. And they'd fill that to that, and then, of course, they opened it down here or else a dipper that dipped it out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we got the water as long as I was there.
Okay. And then you had a boys' outhouse and a girls' outhouse?
Uh-huh. There was a woodshed out down along the fence, which between Lee's and the place now and the schoolyard.
Uh-huh.
And there was a fence, especially in an acre ground there. And there was an outhouse, the boys next to the woodshed, and the girls was over on the other side.
Uh-huh. That worked out all right?
Yeah.
Were you used to that at home anyway?
Well, yes.
It wasn't a novelty to anybody.
No. No, I tell you, the roads was muddy. And it got, but I know when my sister started going with a boy, why, he had a car.
Uh-huh.
And he'd come up from Mount Glen to where Wiley lives now. And he'd get stuck if he wasn't real careful, because
mm-hmm.
they had mud.
Mm-hmm.
And when it finally got, we graded the road. They graded it and then graveled it. That was a little better.
Now you went to school, I think, probably from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Is that
around
right?
That, I think the younger kids got out
of earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Did the teacher usually assign any homework?
Well, yes and no. The littler ones didn't. When it got up to the bigger ones, we did, yes.
What would that homework be? More arithmetic problems or
yeah.
reading a chapter from a book?
Yeah, or... spelling.
Uh-huh.
I know one of them I'd take and learn how to spell those words.
Mm-hmm.
They'd give us a list and them, and there were so many problems in that to work.
Was there a lot of attention to penmanship?
They did that quite a little bit.
Did everyone, as far as you could tell, write well?
Well, they wrote, that's, I don't remember that, but I remember making ovals and they used books and up and down,
yes.
and up and down.
That's called the Spencer method of teaching handwriting.
But they did, didn't, when they did, when I started first grade, they didn't have phonics. And when, but a little later, when my younger sisters started, they had phonics, and they learned read quicker than I did. Because you did. You didn't have to, even today, I could spell a word out rather than sound it out.
You were probably guessing too much at the time.
Probably.
That's why you didn't read too well.
Yeah.
You spoke about the girl who got angry at the teacher and threw the inkwell.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, how was discipline or order in the classroom?
Well, they had pretty good considering. As many that was in there. A lot of the boys got to teasing the girls, and they sit and bribe them by pulling their hair or that, but the teachers were pretty strict in making them behave.